I'm not Eddie Clower, but we're glad he's here tonight. And Eddie's a man who doesn't really need an introduction. We are honored to have Eddie with us tonight. And the work that they're doing with Truth for Today, I've always encouraged to hear and never tired of hearing the work that they're doing. And we're excited to have Eddie with us. He's not only working with Truth for Today, he continues to teach at Harding. And just hearing about the things that Eddie does wears me out. And I'm a youth minister, so that's a hard thing to do. I've never told Eddie this, but while I was at Harding, I did not take your preaching class, and I regret that now because of the challenge that I heard it was to take that class, and took another preaching class. But after hearing you preach, I regret that decision. So we're excited and want to give Eddie the time to talk to us tonight about Truth for Today and the work that they're doing. We're glad you're here.
As best I can remember, I spoke maybe the last time at Johnson, Arkansas in 1958. It's been about 60 years ago. And through the years, I've, of course, met many of you and grown to love you. I've met you in different places and in different circumstances. I want to thank you for the relationship that we have in the Lord. Thank you, Jeremy, for your gracious introduction. I have the highest appreciation for Brother Larry, your preacher, and there are so many others in this assembly whose name I could call that I appreciate very much. My wife, Susan, is seated right back there, and beside her is my sister, Savannah McCain, who is a clinical psychologist in Northwest Arkansas. But if you don't mind, Susan, you and Savannah, raise your right hand where they can see where you are, where they can meet you after the service is over. I'm proud of both of these, of course. If you call Truth for Today during the day, I'll be over at Harding, and you probably will be speaking to Susan. I'm appreciative of the wonderful work that she does at Truth for Today. Once again, listen to the great commission of our Savior. And he said to them, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. Thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remission of sins might be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24:46-47. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the commandments that I have given to you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:19-20. In light of what our Lord told us to do, we want to raise the question, what is God's will for all of the people of the earth? And I believe that we could say, number one, it is to have the Bible to read in their own language. Every person should have the right to have a Bible in his own language. One of the greatest gifts that we can give the people of the earth is to give them the Word of God. You and I have Bibles in abundance, but there are many people around the world who don't. Number two, surely God wants everybody on earth to have a clear presentation of what New Testament Christianity is, where that person can make an informed decision about whether or not to follow Jesus. In light of what happened in Acts chapter 2 with the coming in of the church, it would be only reasonable to add to this list another statement, and that would be, he no doubt wants everybody to have an opportunity to be a member of a congregation of that church that Jesus established on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. So our challenge is great. The only entity that exists in the world to give the gospel to the world is the Church of Christ. It looks like that God is taking a big risk whenever he says, you're going to be my means of getting the gospel to all of the people of the earth. But nevertheless, this is the confidence that our Heavenly Father has in us. He believes that you and I are going to think deeply enough, and we're going to be committed enough where we're going to do something about getting the gospel out to all of the people of the earth. I do travel a lot. I have taught at Harding for the last 41 years, and if I'm able to survive this next week, which is final week, then I will have taught at Harding for 42 years. But on Sundays, I donate my time to going out to the churches. I'm the most dislocated preacher there is. But I spoke this morning at Prayer Grove and here tonight at Johnson, and then next Sunday I'll be preaching somewhere else on Sunday morning and then also somewhere else on Sunday night. I've been doing that for the last 25 years. That's the way, or one way, that we have built the Truth for Today work. But I'll tell you one thing I've noticed as I've traveled to the congregations around the country. I've noticed that there is a stirring among us. That is, a stirring to give all of the people of the earth these opportunities that I've just named. We're uneasy. We know that in our heart of hearts, there is a goal that Jesus put there. He put it there through his great commission. And we're just not going to be satisfied until we're doing far more than we're currently doing to give the gospel to the world. I believe that in addition to that stirring, there is a deep longing, a deep desire for a greater worldwide coverage of the gospel. We're going to have to think more deeply than we've ever thought. We're going to have to be far more generous concerning efforts that are reaching out into all the earth than we've ever been. It's a serious time in our history. Are we going to be comfortable by just coming to service, listening to a good sermon, as I know that you hear every Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and then go home to be with our families? Or is there a deep longing within us to be God's true people on the earth, and we want to share the gospel with all of the people of the earth? We want greater efforts, greater worldwide efforts, more effective efforts, more far-reaching efforts than we've ever had before. I know that I've just been talking about dreams that we have, but let me now go to something a little bit more concrete. What does Truth for Today do? What is Truth for Today doing about reaching out into all the earth? Number one, we are trying to help the missionaries. We have about 1,000. These are our heroes. These are our heroes and our heroines. We wish we had more. Sometimes we will go up a little bit above 1,000. Sometimes we duck a little bit below 1,000. But these are those great souls who have left our land. They've left our cars, our houses, our different types of food, our different types of entertainment, and they've gone to faraway places in order to preach the gospel. And some of them have gone there to live. They have made it their decision that we're going to live in another country, we're going to become one with them, and we're going to spend the rest of our lives teaching them. I really believe that if God modernized Hebrews chapter 11, some of these wonderful missionaries that have gone out from us would be in that list. Maybe they would be at the top of the list. Oh, what faith they have. And oh, what determination they have. How can we help them? We believe one way that we can help them, in addition to supporting them financially, would be to help them with materials. They don't have to write. They don't have time to write materials. And even if they had time to write the materials, they would not be able to publish them because they don't have the money for that. So we try to send them materials like this. This would be a study of the Gospel of Mark that they can use in their Bible classes and provide it for people that they're working with. We're also trying to provide for them a school, an online school, that they can have regardless of where they might be. They can direct people to that school, and they can study through the Bible while the missionary goes about all the other things that he would be doing. I really believe that every one of us should be daily praying for our missionaries. Every prayer that you pray, I hope you'll include in it, as Brother Cassidy did, a prayer for our missionaries. They are the great people among us, and they have done what you and I are not willing to do, apparently. Some of you would like to go, but you can't because of the circumstances that you're in. But these are people who have decided to work it out where they can go. And we want to hold up their hands. We want to encourage them. We want to love them. We want to pray for them. Number two, we really believe in the national preacher. We believe the national preacher is going to be a big help to us as we try to reach out into all the earth. I don't know how many we've got. If you quote me on this, please remember to say this is just his guess. But I'm saying we have somewhere around 75,000. I hope I'm dead wrong. I hope we have 100,000. I hope we have 200,000. I'm just trying to give us a figure that maybe we can work with for a moment or two as we consider it. How are we going to reach out into all the earth? How are we going to fulfill this task that our Savior has given to us? Well, I'll tell you one way we need to keep in our minds, and that would be let's make sure that we strengthen the national preacher where he can preach to his own people in his own language. That has to be the right thing to do. There are several reasons why we're very interested in him. Number one, he's already over there. And that's going to save us a lot of money right there. That will save us quite a bit of money that we can put into helping in the other works that we have going on overseas. Some time ago, maybe a few years ago now, Susan and I decided that we would try to go overseas every year, every other year, something like that. And whenever we went, we'd take our whole family to try to help them to understand mission work as well. But we believed that we would benefit more than anybody else would, so we decided we'd pay our own way. Well, it's been pretty expensive. One thing we've learned by that experience is it costs a lot to go overseas. And if we can find people who are already over there, we'll save that much. Now, it has helped us. We have been benefited by it. Our daughter became a missionary, and she now is in Nepal. She and her husband and family are over there trying to be missionaries. They've told us we're going to stay. We're not going to come back except for furloughs, but this is where we're going to live. They served in India for a number of years, and now they're in Nepal. And our son has become a gospel preacher. He's preaching in Fort Worth, but we believe it benefited us. But you see, I'm talking about the money part of it. It has forced us to save our money, to set aside some money to go overseas. And this is money that we pay for, but the national preacher's already over there. We don't have to send him over there. Number two, he's already a Christian. Maybe he was led to Christ by World Bible School. Maybe he was led to Christ by World English Institute. But he's already a child of God. He knows the language. He knows the culture. He knows the customs. I mean, he's setting on go. If you decide to go overseas, even though it's just for 3 weeks or 4 months, you won't know the culture. You won't know the customs. You're going to be a round peg in a square hole over there. You'll be able to do a little bit of good, but not much. But here's a man who has been reared over there. He knows the customs. He knows the culture. And the language is his first language. If you decide that you're going to learn another language, set aside about 4 years. It'll take you about 4 years to learn it. You want to be careful about preaching in a language you don't understand. You're going to say some things that you don't want to say, and it may take you a long time to recover from that. But he's already over there. He knows the language. He knows the culture. He knows the customs. Why not help him? Why not encourage him? Why not raise him up as a preacher and turn him loose to preach to his own people in his own language? He's probably already beginning to teach. Maybe those around him who are far more interested in the gospel than we are here in America have already come to him and said, "Now, we understand you're a Christian. Would you tell us about it? Would you let us know why you made the decision to become a Christian?" This man has a special need. Are you with me on this? He has a special need. He needs to know the Bible. Now, he's gone through a little school, but that school is not anything like the schools we have over here in America. If you were to read our letters that come in unendingly, you would find out that they are so appreciative of materials that help them to be more informed about the New Testament and the Old. One of the biggest needs he has is to understand the Bible. One letter we got said, "You brethren, send us money." And of course, we need it. But that's not the big thing that we need. The big thing that we need would be the Word of God. Help us to be strong, faithful preachers of the Word. We mail to 32,000 of them every month. We probably are more convinced than maybe others would be that this is our primary way of covering the earth. I don't believe we're going to do it any other way. I don't think we're going to do it by sending out American missionaries. I want us to send out more. I wish we were sending out 100,000. But even if we sent out 100,000, that would not be enough to cover this earth. We have a clock in the conference room of Truth for Today. And that clock registers every moment the population of the earth. It's already factored in the death rate. So the numbers that it's throwing up there on the clock are numbers of true growth. And as best I can tell, it's occurring very rapidly. It's hard to take a number and be accurate with it. By the time you get the number in your head, it's already out of date. But it looks like about 8 to 10 are being born every second. You look at that and you remember the Great Commission, and you know that we've got a lot to do. And we had better really be thinking about it. How are we going to do it? Well, the national preacher is going to play a part in this. And probably his role may be even larger than ours. He's out in other places where the gospel has not gone. We want him to stay out there. We don't want him to come over here. If he comes over here, he's going to want to stay. And bless his heart, I want him to have many of the benefits that we have here in America. But we don't need him over here. We need him back in his homeland. We need him preaching to his own people in his homeland. If we can send him back better prepared, where he can be a better preacher, good. But most of the time, they stay over here. So we'd like to figure out some way to train him there, where he can continue to live there and continue his work of preaching to others. Let us give him materials that will help him in his own personal growth, that will help him in his edification of others, that will help him in his preaching. Now, here's a sample that I hold in my left hand. I know it doesn't look like much. It's pretty thin, isn't it? But we have to pay by weight. And whatever you mail to 32,000 men every month in all the different languages, the postage is really high. And we try to figure out ways to cut back on the postage without cutting back on what we send. They're tan. The color of them would be tan that we've sent overseas. But we try to put as much in these as we can. We don't have many pictures, but we get a lot of material in them. You take five of these and put them together, and you would make a commentary this size. This is how we've made our commentary set. We take the materials that we've already sent to the national preacher. We will add the text. We don't always have all of the text in these booklets that are going. We have opportunities to mail to these men and sort of take them through the Bible, the Old Testament as well as the New. My picture does not cover the New Testament as much as I would like, but what I'm trying to illustrate by this picture would be exposition. The exposition of the Scriptures. Listen to me carefully. the most important thing that you can give another person in some other part of the earth is the Bible. The greatest gift you can give anybody on earth is the Bible. And on our list of things to do, that should be right at the top of it, giving the world the Bible. That's one of our primary goals as the churches of Christ. We sent maybe 6 of these issues on Daniel. We sent 12 of them on Revelation. We sent 12 of them on Jeremiah and Lamentations. We sent maybe 6 of these on Ezekiel. We sent maybe 20 of these on Psalms. That's our goal. That's our bread and butter. That's what we do. We're trying to help anybody that calls upon us for help in terms of sending them material to help them in their preaching and teaching. Perhaps one of our favorite pictures at Truth for Today would be this one. We've been mailing to this man for a long time, and we've got his picture up on the wall. This is the kind of man we are trying to help. He saves every issue that we send. Remember, they're tan that we send overseas. He saves every one of them, and he's been receiving these for over 12 years, and they're still, all of them, it seems, in good condition. He really takes care of them. And they're about all that he gets. We picked out around 300 men that we believe are some of our best national preachers, and we decided we'd send them 6 of these. Now, these are far more expensive. They live longer. They'll live maybe 50 years. This little issue right here will live 10 to 15 years before it falls apart. But we sent him 2 of these on the life of Jesus, covering 48% of the New Testament. We sent him 2 on the book of Acts and 2 on the book of Revelation. This man preaches for 2 different congregations on Sunday. And then during the week, he teaches in a little preacher school that they have going. We put a cellophane wrapper on each book we sent because in their homes, they're not always waterproof. Their homes are not. And there may be some part of their home where what they have inside their home will get wet during the rainy season. So we have it covered with cellophane, and this brother will take the book out of the cellophane, do his reading in it, put it back in the cellophane, put it back on his shelf. He's going to take care of this book. He takes far better care of these books than you would. You'll use one for a doorstop, but he will not. This is pure gold to him. But these are the kind of men that we're trying to help. Men like this can help us make a difference in this world. They can go out with the gospel perhaps a lot better than we can living over here the way we do. We do not want to interfere with the wonderful work that World Bible School is doing. We believe that World Bible School is doing a tremendous work. We also believe that World English Institute is doing a wonderful work. I could go on with my list. There are several others that are doing a wonderful job. But in 2001, I think it was, we decided that we would put together this little book simply because we didn't have one. Our brotherhood didn't have one. We didn't have one just like this. It has 300 pages on how you become a Christian, how you live as a Christian. We have a recipe for unleavened bread. We have instructions on how you can take a handful of raisins and boil them and make grape juice if you're in an area where grape juice is not available to you. And then we have a complete New Testament. I went to the Lockman Foundation. They own the New American Standard translation of the Scriptures. And I asked them, could we use your New Testament royalty free if we always give it away? And they granted us permission to do it. So we came out with this little book that World Bible School does use, and our prison ministries use it. We can get it done for $1 if we print 35,000 of them. You have to print a lot of them to get the cost down. And over the time that it's been in existence, we've been publishing this, trying to cut every corner we could, trying to make sure that we have gotten it overseas to these men where they could use it in their preaching and teaching. And I think that we have sent overseas around 1.5 million. We believe this will live for 20 years. It's pretty reliable, pretty sturdy. And the national man really likes it. He will take three or four of them, if he has them, and put the man in the hands of people around him and tell them, now you read this and I'll come back and talk to you about it. And whenever he comes back, he will find out that they have actually read it. They do more reading than you and I do. Now, we read on our cell phones, but I'm talking about reading books. Overseas, they really read a book. It takes you 8 hours to read the New Testament through if you don't stop a lot. It takes you about 8 hours to read the 300 pages through if you don't stop a lot. And whenever he comes back to them, they've read their way through it and probably read their way to a pretty good understanding of how to become a Christian. He may have to shore up their understanding a little bit. But we are convinced, I hope I'm not stretching it, that every book that's sent overseas will, in time, lead somebody to Christ during its lifetime. Well, you see, if we're right on that, or even close to being right, maybe 1.5 million have become Christians. I think we need to think about things like this and try to come up with some real effective methods of getting the gospel out. And everybody can come up with a good idea, you know. And everybody can do something to help share the gospel with the rest of the world. It is my conviction that everybody should. And if you're not trying to do something, then it could well be that you need to start thinking about it in the future. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that to you. I want to go now to the third thing that we're doing. We try to provide a school for them. I don't have much time to tell you about this. I can tell you about it in about 2 minutes. But we decided that perhaps one of the best ways to reach out into all the earth, wash my mouth out with soap, is the Internet. It came out in the first presidency of Bill Clinton, and it's been growing ever since. And they tell me now that it's in 90% of the land area of the earth. Now, that means that World Bible School, since it's online, is in 90% of the land area of the earth. It means that World English Institute is in 90% of the land area of the earth. Remember that 10% that Internet is not in may be areas where there are no people. I mean, we're talking about something that is really good. This is what we've been waiting on. You know how we've been. We want some magical way of reaching out into all the earth and teaching everybody. We want to do it as quickly as you can snap your fingers. That way's not going to come because Jesus told his people, I want you to do it. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. He was talking to all disciples. Every disciple is a missionary because he's been commissioned by the Great Commission. Every heart without Christ is a mission field, and every heart with Christ is a missionary. He wants us all to do it. So we started working. And on September the 1st, 2015, we came online with a school, a legitimate, authentic school that will allow anybody anywhere in 90% of the earth to actually come online. They've got to have a computer or a smartphone to be connected with Internet in some fashion, come online and actually study through the Bible. This right here is a course. And right now we have 232 courses online, if you count all the languages that we have online. That's a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. All over the world, the Bible is now represented. Now they've got to find it. And so now it's up to us to make sure that they know about it. When you meet somebody on a plane and they're going overseas, you be sure and tell them about this online school and you encourage them in it. I've got some little cards that I'll be glad to give you after the service is over when you come by the collection plate that we're going to have back there. Here's what we're doing. We are setting up what we call biblical learning centers all over the world. We want to get a local preacher to be the principal, and then he will have two opportunities before him. He can have an online school if he wants to. It'll be free to anybody there who wants to take it. He just needs to find the students, and we allow them to go through this school due to a scholarship arrangement. And if he doesn't have people who have an access to internet, who do not have smartphones, there's no way that they can get online and study through the Bible, we will send them 10 commentaries like this. That's what I raise money for. 10 commentaries like this. 5 of them will be Life of Christ 1. 5 of them will be Life of Christ 2. He recruits 10 people, 5 of whom will take Life of Christ 1. At the same time, the other 5 will take Life of Christ 2. And by the end of that semester, they have completed one course at least that we have online. And at the end of that semester, they switch. And those who took Life of Christ 1 will take Life of Christ 2, and those who took Life of Christ 2 will take Life of Christ 1. They use the books over and over again. And then the latter half of the year, the second half of the year, he recruits 10 more. 5 of them will take Life of Christ 1, while the other 5 take Life of Christ 2. And then at the end of that semester, they switch, and so those 10 will take the books that they have not taken. By this means, he can take 20 people through two courses, two real good, strong courses. Life of Christ 1 and Life of Christ 2 cover the entire Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 48% of the New Testament. This will give them a rather thorough acquaintance with the Gospels of our Lord. Then the next year, we will send 10 more. And those 10 will be on a different subject, another course, another couple of courses that they will be going through. We'd like to set up these courses all around the world, where every community on earth has a school. And in that school, people can study through the Bible. If you pulled him up out of his community and brought him over here to America and enrolled him in Harding University, we would like to have him. We want as many students as we can get. And if there's anybody in this assembly tonight, especially those young people on the back, if you are interested in coming to Harding, I want to talk to you before you leave. I want you to be at Harding. But it costs you a lot to bring somebody over here and put him through Harding. We'd like for him to have the same opportunity there in his community to study through as authentic Bible courses as he would get over here in the States at Harding University. I think we could take him through more courses. I think we could be more thorough. And I think the courses would be good for him, and he could then enroll others to come and take the courses. We can take as many as want to come and take the courses. It's online, and they are free for anybody overseas. Now, if you're going to take it here in America, you'll have to buy the commentaries. Either that, or you'll have to pay a little bit to get your digital form of the commentary. I want to remind you of this fact. I'm going to skip these levels. I was just going to show you here that one of our biggest needs in world coverage would be follow-up. World Bible School is doing well, but we need follow-up. World English Institute is doing well, but we need follow-up. We need follow-up even to our missionaries, and that's the hole in the work that we're trying to fill. Our overseas missionaries, our overseas national preachers are pretty good in their understanding of having a school. You send them some material, first thing they're going to do is have school with it. That's going to be their curriculum that they study through. Our missionaries that are overseas, they come online. They need some help. They need encouragement. They need materials. They want to be able to study through these courses too, where they can better prepare themselves to do the work that they're trying to do. I believe the learning centers is a step in the right direction to covering the whole earth. And remember this, we have our online school in 23 languages, if you count English. And I'm going to end my presentation by the roll call of the languages. I'd like for you to think with me and dream with me as I call out their names. Chinese, Indonesian, Hindi, Tamil, Telugu, Malayalam, Punjabi, Kannada, Marathi, Bengali, Nepali, Urdu, Gujarati. The last 11 cover the entire nation of India, which has over a billion in population. French, Spanish, Russian, Portuguese, Arabic, Japanese, German, Vietnamese, Korean. That should be 22. And you add English to that, and you come up with 23. I don't know how it's going to be. But my guess is that whenever we pass from this life, Jesus will meet us at the door. In Luke 16, the angels came and took Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. But Jesus was here then. Now he's over there. And when we see him pictured in Revelation chapter 1, he has the key to death and Hades in his hand. I think he'll meet us at the door. And as we began our conversations with him, I'm just sure that somewhere there will come up in that conversation, how are you doing with my Great Commission? You know why he died. He died to taste death for every man. You know what he wants done. There's no doubt about what he wants done. He wants the world covered with the gospel. There are brilliant thinkers in this assembly. Brilliant men and women in this assembly. We need to think. We need to dream. What can we do about the earth? Probably we can do more than we've been doing. I've asked the elders, hope I didn't put any pressure on them in my request, to have a collection plate back there. Ask Virgil. I've known Virgil for, I claim that I've known him for 73 years. We've known each other for a long time. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit. But I asked him if we could have a contribution basket in the back. And Virgil said, sure. And he's got it back there. Would you help us? Would you help us in this work? Remember, I'm giving too. I go out every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. We want to do more. We're talking about the church. We're talking about the Lord's church in the world. We want to do more to reach out into all the earth. Can you think of anything better than trying to give the world the Bible? Give them rather detailed studies on the Bible. This is Matthew 14 through 28. There are two books on Matthew. If everything goes well, tomorrow we will send out Mark 1. We will have two commentaries on Mark. We've got two on Luke. We're starting work on two on John. We've got two on Romans. We've got two on Acts. I mean, we're trying to give them the best education in the Bible that we can. Can you think of anything better? Can you think of any greater blessing that you and I have had than the blessing of being able to have a Bible? A Bible in our pockets, a Bible in our purses, a Bible in our homes, in our cars. How richly blessed we've been. And when Jesus said, or when he says to us, how are you doing with my Great Commission? What kind of answer are we going to give? I hope we can say, Lord Jesus, we were really trying. If you're not a Christian, we would like to invite you to become one tonight. I'm sure the baptistry is ready, and Brother Larry would assist in you making the good confession and being baptized into Jesus. If you're unfaithful to him and need to make a public response in some way, we'll be here to assist in that as well. While together we stand and sing.
Number 189. Master of the Tempest.